You know, I mean, I was a member of the Baptist Church for 65 years, but I don't think any different than any other church. But as a rule, since I was in a Baptist, I can tell you that if we had 200 people on the roll in a Baptist church, we had 70 there. If we had 2,000 on the roll, we might have 400 or 500 there. We never had 2,000 there on any given day. I didn't mean what you did, you could not get them all together. Why? Well, about a third of them. Well, if you want to know who the real ones are, you put 2,000 on the roll. Like when I started at Lakeland Baptist Church, we had about 70 people on the roll. It was a little tiny church right off the freeway over there. There was almost nobody in Louisville. And we had one little tiny building there. It wasn't as big as this building. Not even as big as this building. And we kept on going, and I visited, and I worked, and did everything, and became a Sunday school teacher there, a deacon, and everything else. And everybody came to that church to visit it. I went to see them Sunday afternoon. I mean, gave up my Sunday afternoons. But I didn't look at it as giving up my Sunday afternoons. I was being about my Father's business. And I was out there visiting those people. So a lot of those people came back to church. Some of them didn't come back to church. But over the years, I saw that little tiny church grow from 70 to 2,500. I mean, and when I left there, there was 2,500 members. But you could never go there and see more than 500 to 700 there. Where's all the rest of these people? Let's say they come to church here. Well, if you got a church that you got 2,500 members, when you come and you join a church, you're supposed to commit yourself to that church. You're supposed to be there every Sunday, every time the doors open, to be taught and encouraged and learn who you are by the pastor or the Sunday school teachers. You're to make yourself available to the King. You become a child of God. Now then, what if you don't? You're going to be sick. That's what's going to happen to you. And that's why so many people in the body of Christ are sick today, because we don't know what's rightfully ours. We don't know that we have power over the devil. I don't know how many times I read this before I got revelation on it. But he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits," or the evil spirits, "are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, since I knew this the other day when I was out there in Silver City, and that devil manifest and said, "I ain't coming out," I knew, I'd already learned, been down this trail many times before, I knew he had to be subject to me if there was no sin opening the door for him to be there. That's why when he refused to come out, I said, "What's the sin that opens the door for you to be there?" And that's when he said, "This blankety-blank woman opened the door to me 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls." Now then, you know, I mean, this little girl, she had no idea that being a Rainbow Girl was going to open the door to all these demons. But do you know, many men, in other words, I remember since I was a Southern Baptist, I'll talk about us, I remember a few years ago when the Southern Baptists had somebody in the organization come up and confront the Masonic Lodge, because many Southern Baptist preachers are Masons. I'm passing all of them, all kinds of people in the church are Masons. But I guess it's no comfort to you, but I think every president that's ever been has been a powerful Mason. I mean, you know, if you don't believe that, you go to Washington, D.C. and walk around and look at the symbols. I mean, if you know what they are, you can find them. And one of the most wicked places I've ever seen, has anybody ever been to the new airport in Denver? Anybody ever seen any of the Masonic symbols in the airport? You ever notice those? You didn't notice them when you were there. Boy, what'd you do? Have your eyes closed? You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what the things of the world are. Did you see them? Oh, you're not sure what that is? Okay. Well, there's a whole lot of symbols that goes with the Masonic. And, of course, if you've ever been to the airport, especially when it first opened, some of the murals and signs and paintings they had on the wall were so wicked that it turned so many people off that they painted over some of those. I hadn't been out there in a long time, so I don't know what's out there now. But I used to go out there. But that airport has got, it's a wicked place. How many of you know that in Masons there's many degrees of Masonic Lodge? Well, that's what they are. They're really, and they go through and they start out with the basic Mason, take all kinds of oaths and everything. And the oaths they take, when they start out, they come in half-dressed, almost undressed, with a rope tied around their neck. And as they come in, they will say, "Who goes there?" And this is the answer: "I am a blind, profane candidate seeking for the secrets of the universe." Now, if you're a Christian and you're blind and profane, you don't know who you are. But that's where a lot of Christians are. They don't know who they are, where, what they are. So anyway, they go through and they do all the things they're supposed to do. And then as they come down to certain degrees, they finally come to the ritual of Hiram Abiff. Now, when they take this ritual, a worshipful grand master. Now, first of all, I have a problem with a man being called a worshipful grand master. I only know one I'm supposed to worship.
Amen.
No man. But he's called a worshipful grand master. Well, the worshipful grand master at a time will walk up to you on a certain time, and he will come knee to knee with you, face to face with you, and he'll whisper over in your ear one of these two names. It depends on which one of the Masonic Lodge in the United States or the world that you join. But there's one of two names they whisper in your ear: Mahabon or Jabulon. One of those two names, and they say that's the secret name of God. And that name is to never be spoken again by that person. Never. It's too awesome, they say. That's the name of God. Well, phooey. It's a bunch of junk. But anyway, what they do then is they take that man. Let's say there's 20 men in the lodge. It's just a little one. 20 men. The first man comes up and he grabs this man and shakes him and says, "Give me the secret name of God." Well, he knows what that secret name of God is. He's already been through this stupid ritual. But he won't tell him. So he shoves him on to the next man. Each man grabs the guy, shakes him, "Give me the secret name of God." And all of them, he refuses all the way around the room. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, this seems like a game that some of you might think, especially women, you think men do stupid things. Yeah, girls, us guys are kind of stupid sometimes. I don't care what degrees you have by your name. I know PhDs from the seminary that's done this. You know, so when I think about this, I think, oh, God, how we've been deceived by the devil of this world. But they go all the way around the room, and they refuse. Well, the last guy killed him. The last guy takes a great big cloth hammer and hits him in the head, and the guy falls dead on the floor. Okay, the worshipful grandmaster comes back up, straddles him, and takes a white, pure lamb skin. Anybody ever heard, seen these little white lamb skins these guys wear? Yeah. If you've ever been to anything, and I didn't know, I went to one Masonic funeral in Lakeland Baptist Church one time. And I won't ever be in part of another one. If they have a Masonic funeral, I ain't going to be there. I'm not going to take part in it, and I'd hate to be buried and they do a Masonic funeral, because I believe the guy in that casket is in hell today. I don't believe he's in heaven, but that's between him and God. But when he lays that white lambskin across your middle, he says, "Now then," I'll kind of paraphrase this ritual or this whole thing, "Now then, because you have refused to give the secret name of God, you are worthy to wear your perfect, pure white lambskin, and you're worthy to be raised from the dead and set with the great architect of the universe." Now, I'm going to tell you, does that sound a little bit like blasphemy to God? I don't sound a little bit like it. It sounds like all blasphemy of God. If you think a man can refuse to give the secret name of God, which is not God's name at all, and because he refuses to give that, that's going to make him worthy to sit with the great architect of the universe. And do you know there is a man today that's never been to church, that's joined a Masonic lodge, and they think they're going to heaven when they die because they're a Mason. And do you know what? They're going to sit with the great architect, all right. The devil, when they die, in fact, they ain't even going to get to sit with him. He's going to call them a fool. They're going to hell, and they're going to burn. Why? Because we have not done our legwork. We have not studied. We have been too interested in going to the movie, watching 4 hours of television every night, which don't do nothing for you. Now, you can either educate yourself with the Word of God and the things that pertain to the kingdom and do something for God, and walk in divine health, or you can be a part of the world, and you can be beat up by the world, you can be sick and afflicted by the world, and you can, like this poor girl over here, 15 years she is sick and afflicted, had no idea that healing was hers. I bet you and your husband went to church, didn't you? I mean, most people go to church, they don't come here if they don't at least in church. Is that right? Now see, there's not anybody that's not cursed on the earth. I don't care who you are. I mean, did God speak a curse? A while ago, I was kind of kidding when I said the woman messed up and she was cursed. But she was, wasn't she? And who spoke that curse over her? God did. Was the man cursed too? Yes, he was responsible too. So God spoke a curse over all of them. But now then, all of those curses, He's clearly told us, and we'll talk about some of those today, all of those curses God laid on us because of sin. I mean, when you read the Old Covenant, in fact, we might, let me go back to one of those great promises, and let's go to Exodus 15:26, and I'll show you what is available to you. And this is, of course, I'll show you a couple of these right quick, and then we'll talk about the curses and how to break these curses, because you need to know. Everybody's under a curse. And until I learned that I was under a curse and how to break the curse, I had all kinds of sickness and disease, although I was in church, Sunday school teacher, deacon, everything else. I had all kinds of sickness and disease. When I learned what was mine and how to receive it by faith, I broke every curse, received God's healing power by faith, and in 25 years not had a sick day. Praise God. It works. But look here, Exodus 15:26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God. Somebody said, well, I ain't never heard His voice. All you got to do is read His Word. You want to hear God's voice? Today, you will hear a whole lot of God's voice. Like right now, you're hearing His voice out of my mouth. When I read those words, that's God talking to you. Is that right? The Word of God is Him. And He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Well, we give voice to God's Word on the earth. And we'll do that which is right in His sight. Now, wait a minute. The other day, Cheryl and I was on an airplane going to Frankfurt to teach the Word. On descent, the little girl sat down in front of us. She was a stewardess. And I said, honey, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. I said, you go to church? Oh, yeah. I said, praise God. She says, are you a pastor? I said, yes. She said, what do you think caused the big hurricane in Burma? I said, God. It was a judgment of God.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.